Well, good afternoon, good evening, whatever. Afternoon, I think. Welcome to our Carols by Candlelight service. Lovely to see you all, and we look forward to being here to worship God together as we come towards Christmas. You'll notice we've got the candles alight. We've only got three candles alight there. Does anybody know why we've only got three candles alight? Any of you children know why there's only three candles alight there? Dylan? You're right, it's the third Sunday of Advent. Advent is those four Sundays leading up to Christmas, and today is the third of those four Sundays. So we've just lit three candles, and then next Sunday we'll light the final one. That's a reminder that Christmas is only a few days away. I hope you're able to stay for some refreshments afterwards. We'll be serving some mince pies, apple pies, and fruit punch. So I hope you're able to stay for that. If you need the toilet, our preferred route is to use the side path, but do be very careful because it's a little bit mossy, and I don't think it's because it's been dry. I think it's all right, but just be careful in case it's at all slippery. If that's difficult for you, there is another way through the kitchen, but it does involve steps, and if you need help, just let us know. But as I say, the preferred way is outside, if that's all right. Just to say that next Sunday we have our morning service at 10:30. It's going to be a bit different to normal. We don't have a speaker. We're going to probably have a video talk. That's next Sunday morning, 10:30. And then on Christmas Day, we have a family service here at 10:30 again. 45-minute service on Christmas morning. And you're all very welcome to come to that if you're able to. We're just going to run through our carol service without too much announcing. And we're going to begin with that carol that's often sung as the first carol at Christmas time, Once in Royal David City. We don't have a boy soloist, but we can all join in as the music starts, Once in Royal David City.
Thank you. the promise of Jesus' coming. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you. The night before Christmas.
The night before Christmas, when all through the stable, every creature was stirring, this ain't a fable.
No stockings were hung, no chimney in sight, but one thing for sure, the Lord came that night.
Whilst Bethlehem's townsfolk slept snug in their beds, visions of angels thronged overhead.
As shepherds watched their flocks, with fire and with crook, heaven started singing, it's written in this book.
So upwards they looked to witness the clatter, and jumped to their feet to see what was the matter.
On hearing the news, they flew like a flash, although in flip-flops, so not quite a dash.
Meanwhile, around the back of the inn, Joseph was trying to settle the din. The cattle were lowing, or was it a moo? Either way, there was lots of mess.
Anyway, Mary was tired and needed to lay, so Joseph made her a bed out of hay.
And just before the baby came, yes, he nearly forgot, he set up a manger because there wasn't a cot.
Now off in the east, there were some wise guys who were studying hard and pointing up to the skies.
When what to their wondering I should appear, but a big sparkly star, a special sign so clear.
Merrily on high, and with a dong and a ding, they knew in a moment there was a newborn king.
Not quite rapid eagles, their camels they came. Loaded up with gifts, they checked them by name.
Frankincense, myrrh and gold, then off to deliver them to the child foretold.
Back to the stable, and at long last, all the prophecies had come to pass.
The waiting was over. He was finally here. Jesus, our Saviour, holy, near.
The shepherds arrived, their jolly good selves, but there was no sleigh full of toys and no hard-working elves.
And then the wise men came a bit late, but to bring their precious gifts to the treasured king.
There were no Christmas dinners, no pop factory winners, nothing on the telly, no balls full of jelly.
But now I hope you would have heard and read that when believing in Jesus, you have nothing to dread.
Because on that first day of Christmas, from Abraham's family tree came God's Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift born to set us free.
So tonight, beneath the stars so bright, with snow outside, perhaps sparkling white, Merry Christmas to be so simple.
The angel Gabriel visits Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your words to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
Angel reassures Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you. the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
the angel's message to the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a great company of the heavenly host appearing with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
The shepherds go to see Jesus. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. The Magi travel from the east. After Jesus was born in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I may go too and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen where it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, and having been warned about in a dream about not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. summer we were privileged to have Graham Kendrick visit Ludbury. Graham is an internationally well-known Christian singer-songwriter, and to have him come to Ludbury was a great honour and privilege. One or two of us would just like to sing one of his newer songs. It's simply called Adore. The meaning of all these things.
Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Seats, everyone, and we've got one more Christmas carol to sing, but before we do that, we're just going to spend a couple of minutes thinking a bit about what we've been singing about and what we've been reading about from the Bible, and going to be thinking particularly about that last reading we had from John's Gospel, chapter 3, and it's all about the gift that God has given at Christmas. And I'm sure in 10 days' time, on Christmas morning, we all may be doing slightly different things because we all have slightly different Christmas traditions, but I'm sure we'll all be opening some presents on that morning. And I can remember some fantastic presents as a child. I think some of the best ones were once I got a Thomas the Tank Engine train set, which I really liked. Another year was a Scalextric set. I don't know if anyone here got one of those when they were growing up. What else did I get? We used to get Airfix kits. Yeah, I don't know if anyone still gets those, but they were brilliant. Yeah, well done. They're fantastic. And all sorts of things like that. I remember my dad was really good at choosing Christmas presents. He used to spend a lot of time thinking about what we'd really like, and he never failed. He always managed to get something that when we opened it, we were really happy to get it. And that's because he loved to see us smile. He loved to try and choose something that we would really enjoy. Because he loved us and wanted to make us happy on that morning. And giving gifts is one way that we express our care and our love for one another, isn't it? People do say, though, that the greatest gifts don't come in boxes. And that really is true. The gifts of friendship, of love, of kindness, of loyalty, of forgiveness are all examples of that. And they are very precious things that we should value. And in fact, the most precious things that we have are not things that are given to us by our parents or grandparents wrapped in wrapping paper. They're things like the sunshine, the beauty of creation, our lives, and the food we have on our tables, homes we have over our heads. We believe that all of those things ultimately are things that God has given us. And they are gifts that we should be thankful for at this time. A little while ago here we celebrated harvest and we thought about thanking God for the food he gives us and for farmers and all sorts of good things that we have. But at Christmas we remember the greatest gift of all that God has given. And that is his own son. So as we enjoy our Christmas presents, it's good to remember that Christmas is in fact a time when we celebrate that. We celebrate the gift that God has given us and all that that means in his son. The gift of sending his son into the world to save us. And that last reading, or second to last reading, said this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I just want us to think of a couple of really amazing things to do with this gift. The first one is this, that it was the most valuable gift ever given. And, you know, sometimes we can learn something about the value of gifts that people give us. If they give us something really maybe expensive or something that they've spent time looking for or they've thought a lot about, you can tell something about that, that person, you know, what you mean to that person and what they mean to you. If someone gets you a really naff present, then you start to wonder whether they really care or not. But what about this gift that God has given us? It's the most valuable gift ever given, his own son. What does that tell you about how much God loves us and cares about us? So that's the first thing. There's another Christmas tradition. I'm not sure if it is from the UK or from the States, but it involves a piece of coal. And I wonder whether any of the children can tell me what Christmas tradition is there about a piece of coal. Do you know? Yeah, Henry had his hand up first. Naughty, yes. What happens if you're naughty? You get a piece of coal. And what don't you get?
Presents.
Yeah. Instead of presents in your stocking, you get a piece of coal. And the story goes that Santa doesn't bring presents to naughty boys and girls. Instead, he gives them coal as a punishment. I don't actually know anyone who that's happened to. But you never know, children. Better be very good this year, because it could be the first year that it happens. But what about the gift that God gave us? We all know that only good children deserve presents from Santa. But what about God's gift to us of his own son? Do we deserve that? Well, the Bible says we don't. The truth is that we don't deserve it at all. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says that there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God truly. All have turned away. The truth is that the Bible tells us that at some point we've all turned our backs on God. We've all broken his laws. That means that we don't deserve that goodness from him. But the amazing thing is about Christmas is that God gave us his son even though we didn't deserve it. And that speaks of grace. That speaks of forgiveness. That speaks of God's goodness. Even though we didn't deserve it, he gave us the most precious gift ever given. And the last thing I want us to think about, so there were two things. It's the most precious gift ever given, the most valuable gift. And it's a gift we don't deserve, and yet he still gives it to us. But the third thing is this, is that it's a gift that you have to respond to. We all know that when we get a gift, it is a gift. It's not earned. It's not wages for work or something. It is a gift. But when we get it in our hands, there's still something you have to do. What is that? What do you have to do? Yeah?
Say thank you.
You say thank you. Then after you've said thank you, there's something else you have to do. You've got the gift in your hand. Imagine what you're going to do, Henry. You're holding it. It's still wrapped. Open it up. Yeah, you have to open up the wrapping paper and take out the present. No one gets a gift and just leaves it on the side collecting dust, do they? I'm sure we all open our gifts. And the same is true with this gift that God has given us in sending his son. Yes, it's a gift. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. But there's still something you need to do. You need to accept that gift in your own hearts, in your own lives. We need to accept the gift of Jesus this Christmas, to say thank you to him for sending his son into the world, to say sorry for the things we've done wrong, but to gladly accept that gift of forgiveness and acceptance by him. So I hope this Christmas, as you're enjoying all the good things that come with Christmas, you remember that special gift that the Christmas holiday is all about and is right at the centre of it. We're going to sing our last carol, which is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If you all stand to sing this one together. Have a seat. We've come to the end of our carol service. I'm going to close in prayer now, but please stay afterwards. We've got some hot spiced punch, I think yes. We've got some mince pies, yes. And probably some other nice things as well, so please stay and have some of those. But let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of singing carols, some of them very familiar that we've sung for many years, and other ones that are new. And Lord, we thank you for the meaning behind the words of those carols, that they speak of the most amazing time in history when you broke into human history and came into this world. You're not a God who is far off and distant, but you're a God who has come into this world, become one of us, and were born in that manger 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we pray that as we go from here and as we enjoy the rest of the Christmas season, Lord, we pray that we won't forget what Christmas is really all about, that it is about you coming into this world to save us because of your great love for us. So we pray that as we are filled with joy over many things, over meeting family and friends and the good food at Christmas and presents and those things as well, Lord, we pray that we would have joy in our hearts also, knowing that you are a God who loves us and sent your Son into this world to save us. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.